10. A plastic drawer full of tiny green pieces. "You know," said Ellen Bywater, "there's no proof that Zimri is really dead. Have you thought of that?" Ellen was rapidly searching through the stoat boxes, looking for something. Lenk had gone to check the traps. Neither Lenk nor Ellen was willing to be alone with the other.
"I mean, what we saw seems pretty conclusive," said Shun.
"What are we looking for?"
"I want to know what Zimri took. You remember, he was going through the boxes, taking things. Where's that sled now? The one he was carrying his stuff away on?"
This was a good point. Shun looked around.
"Maybe the drones took it?"
"Aha!"
Ellen was wild-eyed. If they managed to push her into taking sides here, if they managed to really convince Shun despite all she'd seen and all she'd learned that she had to choose between them, would she choose Ellen? The alternative was choosing Lenk Skellish, which, prior to this week, Shun would have said was surely always the worst possible choice.
"If the drones took it," said Ellen, "where did they take it, and why?"
"Okay, I know I didn't send the swarm for Zimri. You don't need to believe me, no reason you would, but I know. But say I did send the swarm. Why would I take the box, too? Wouldn't I leave the equipment here? Think about it. You saw those same drones in his bunker, you told us. We never saw him die. If those were his drones, they could have made a good show and then lifted him, carried him somewhere else, still on the island with all that equipment. Do you see?"
"You think he's pretending to be dead?"
"Classic," said Ellen. "It's the classic. I was saying to Will—"
She stopped herself. "I still talk to my mom," said Shun. "She died when I was 14, and I still talk to her. Sometimes I even think she talks back."
"Thank you," said Ellen. "That means something. Yes. Since we got here, I've thought I saw him sometimes, just sitting on the grass next to me. I think maybe I'm going nuts. Maybe I have been for a while."
"You just miss him," said Shun.
"And we're all going to go nuts. I think that's the expected state when you're grieving for the whole world."
"Look," she said, "all this who's going to take over, I mean, I guess maybe that's normal too. When the past is all fucking fire and brimstone, all you have to hold on to is the future, hoping that things will end up better than they are. That's why you're all driving yourselves so crazy over the, you know, wanting to be king of the world. Rivalry and imagining that the others are doing terrible things. It stops you looking back at the ashes."
"Yes," said Ellen. "Yes, I see that. I see that." And for a moment, Shun thought, thank fuck I've gotten through to her. She's going to sit down and feel sad about the whole world, and then we'll all be doing better. Shun felt the inner wire in her unbend just a little. Her tensile steel softened. She imagined sagging to the ground, not realizing how frightened she had been of what might happen here.
"Oh my God," said Ellen, and Shun thought, yes, this is how it begins. This is how you know you're grieving. When the whole thing strikes you as absolutely outrageous, when you're angry with your own mother for fucking letting cancer take her and leaving you, that's when you know you're in it.
"Look at this," said Ellen. 6 AP28 boards in here, all smashed.
"Jesus, fuck.
I don't know what that is."
"There, they can enable communication with the satellites. And here, this section is smashed too."
"Fuck him. Fuck him!"
Ellen tipped the stoat box over so Shun could see the delicate parts and the green boards pulverized into dust and fragments.
"I mean, things could have been destroyed in the crash."
"No, I checked these the day we arrived. We all know that at some point, we're going to want to build communication devices, try to reestablish contact. Look at this. If you wanted to set up on some other island or in a distant part of this island, set up all cozy and snug with us thinking you're dead and run your empire from there, you'd take one of these and smash the others to bits."
Ellen's speech was racing, high points of color in her cheeks. The idea was growing in her mind as Shun watched, louder and more insistent with every moment. Zimri had faked his death. He'd done it with his own drones. Well, Shun had seen those precise drones in his own bunker. She knew what Ellen was saying.
He'd taken all he needed. He was waiting out there somewhere. He'd steal from them by night and kill them. Listening to her was like watching a mind drown.
"Just a second," said Ellen. "Just a moment. I haven't thought this through. This is not the only option."
"No," said Shun. "It's quite an extreme option, really. You think he wants it so much he could have faked his own death?"
"Oh, he wants it that much. But,"
Ellen's expression was sly,
"could have been Lank. I didn't think of that. Lank could have killed him, cleared away the sled, and stolen the parts to make me think it was Zimri. Have you noticed how much time Lank spends walking? Where is he going?"
Shun was reminded of one of her father's sisters in Liverpool, who had become convinced that vaccinations were secretly a plot by Bill Gates to mind control the population of the world. She and her dad had laughed about Aunt Lucy, and it had been a closeness between them. With her mother dying, the world upside down, Auntie Lucy's emails titled "Spike Protein Vaccine Poisons Brains" had been a bulwark. "We in this apartment are not as crazy as that. We have that in common. Even though we're not okay, we are okay." "Oh," Jen thought, "this is how I end up allying with Lank Skellish."